Lots of thoughts gone through my mind on what you've shared there. Greatness, the kingdom kind. You want to be great and become a servant. That's just upside down in this world, isn't it? You want to be great in this world. You want to be great in this world, then you need to run for a position. And while you're running, you need to try to destroy your opponent. But Jesus, he never taught us that way. He taught us to be a servant. Be a servant. I was thinking a bit on what Nate shared. Thank you, brother, for sharing that. That was very good. His disciples were thinking, he's going to restore this earthly kingdom. This is great. It's going to happen. And he says, he tells them, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he said this, he was taken up in a cloud and gone. I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, here they were anticipating this glorious kingdom that's going to be set up here. And I just imagine that these men were thinking they're going to be somebody pretty big and prominent in this earthly kingdom that Jesus is going to set up here. And then he says, and you're going to be witnesses. And he lists off the places and he's gone. I think they understood what witnesses were. I think the Greek word for witnesses is martis, I think it is. And that's where we get our Greek or our English word for martyr. I think reality hit when he left. But I was just thinking of this greatness that they were thinking of, and also of just being involved in this earthly kingdom, how it's never brought any blessing to the church. We've heard much said about that this morning, but I was just thinking, most of us, or all of us, I don't believe have ever experienced any of the world wars. I don't think anybody's old enough here to experience that. But if you were to live through that time, that's a good example of the church and the state getting involved. Do you look at Hitler as being a blessing to society? How many of you, knowing history, would you say Hitler was a blessing to society? He was the one that we needed to lead this country? He was in Germany. But was he a blessing to society? Was he a blessing to the whole world? It was a world war. You know what's interesting? Hitler knew some very, very interesting phrases. And one was, God with us. Gott mit uns. He would say that in German. I find it very interesting. There is a group of Christians that voted for him. It was a big group. But I'm just throwing that out there. Was that a blessing to the world? Think of the pain, the trauma, the grief, and all that went with it. We're not part of that kingdom. My point is, let's be careful so we didn't get caught up in it. Because history has a way of repeating itself. And today, we see churches getting caught up in the political side of life. There's two kingdoms. And let's be part of the... And the other thing is there's a right attitude that we as Christians carry towards this earthly kingdom. So let's just be careful to not get caught up in the wrong kingdom. Because there's a lot of push right now to get involved in this earthly kingdom. But we have history will tell us that getting involved in this earthly kingdom wasn't the answer. It hurts the church. It hurts the people here. So my topic this morning is the last one on our Brotherhood Agreement vision statement. And it is on authority. Before we begin, we'll have a word of prayer. Let's do that now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings to us. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us to yourself, for teaching us from your word. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be part of your kingdom. Lord, as we go through this life, I pray that we could demonstrate the life of Christ to those around us day by day. Thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you for all that we've heard already. Lord, being a servant, finding joy, finding peace in serving. Father, thank you also for the warning Brother Nate gave us about the two kingdoms. Help us, Lord, to keep a clear mind. Help us to keep a clear mind. Help us to understand your will, your kingdom. Thank you, Father, again for your blessings. Thank you for this congregation here. I pray you bless each one here and all those that attend here that aren't here, Lord. Bless each one and keep them and prosperous, Lord. Thank you again. Be with us. Bless the words that I preach here, Lord. Direct them by your Spirit. And help us to understand and see authority in a way that we should, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Authority. That word that most people don't like, authority. Did you ever find yourself ever in a place and time of life where authority, you didn't appreciate it? Some of you did. Most of you probably did. Even as children, sometimes your parental authority said, no, we're not going to do this. You didn't like it. You didn't like and appreciate the authority. But authority is something that is ordained by God. I'm going to read our statement here, and then I'm going to speak on authority, an overview on authority. Our statement in the church authority says, leadership, how is it to function? It says, a leader must lead. A leader must have the liberty to lead. There needs to be a trust between the leader and the rest of the members. The trust needs to be secure so communication can flourish. Another aspect of church authority. Where does authority and leadership stop? Just because you are the authority of your home, we as a church have the authority as well. If there's something in your home that needs to be addressed, we have that authority to do so. It doesn't just stop because of you are the authority in your home. So that is our statement on authority. You can read that if you want some time. Anyhow, we're going to move on into more about authority. And the one thing that I want us to understand, the wrong view of authority is going to have a great impact on our lives. The right view of authority will have a great impact on our lives, a great influence. But the wrong one is going to have one as well. I was just thinking, in my early journey as a Christian, I remember many years ago, a number of us were together and we were talking about, some of us were talking about where we came from, the misuse of authority, and on it went. And there's a scripture verse, and I was sitting here this morning, I thought of this, and I couldn't think of where this verse is right now, but it says that we are all ministers of reconciliation. Anybody know where that verse is right now? Second Corinthians 5. And as immature Christians, we did something with that verse. And I speak it to my shame. But I just want to tell you what we did with that verse. And that's a beautiful verse. That's the word of God, and it's right. But a wrong interpretation of that verse will destroy your life. And so a number of us were not really for church authority. Church authority is something wrong with that as well. God, we don't quite see the scriptures that way. We're all ministers of reconciliation. We're all ministers to do that. And so we're all just kind of right here. There's nobody really has any authority. Nobody gives any direction. And you know what? For many years, we went through life that way. And a lot of you remember these times. That destroyed a lot of people. That thought pattern destroyed a lot of people. God spared me and a great number of us, seeing that, you know what? That's not coming out right. Something, we're missing something. And we realize, we need authority in our lives. There needs to be authority in life. God ordained it. And as you read the scriptures, it's very clear. But early on in our great zeal for God, everybody needed to know the gospel. And we kind of misinterpreted scriptures. We didn't value authority, because there were some Mennonite men in our community that come alongside and said, I think that's not going to come out right. Like, if you guys keep going this way, you know. And we're like, yeah, you guys need revival in your church too. Did we say that? No. Was that the hard attitude that was expressed? Yes. And I said, I speak it to my shame. But I'm saying this because if the wrong vantage point, the wrong viewpoint of authority, it's going to destroy our lives. It'll have a negative effect on my own life, my family's life, and there's going to be consequences for it. There just is. Choices have consequences. It's as simple as maybe you got a press going and you stick your finger in it and it smashes it. It's because you made the choice to stick your finger in there and something's going to happen. It's the same way. You make a decision to rebel against authority, to not have authority in your life, there's going to be consequences. And they're not going to be positive. You make a decision to welcome authority and let it be part of your life, there's going to be consequences. There's going to be blessings because it's God ordained. And so I want us to get a hold of this morning that authority is God's gift to man. Authority is God's gift to man. Greek word for authority is the same as power. You know, Jesus said he had power to forgive sins. He had authority to forgive sins. So authority and power are used interchangeably. And I believe you can find this about 36 times in the New Testament. Either the word power or authority. But oftentimes, the word authority creates a reaction in our hearts. Oh, no. Oh, I don't know. It's just natural. It does. I know that some of us in here, we drive a little faster. I'm saying we. I try to use my cruise control. But so you're not paying attention. You're driving along. I'm talking about a reaction in our hearts. We're just driving along. And then you see this car sitting here. It's either undercover or it's got blue lights on the top, blue and red lights. What do you do? Doesn't create any reaction. We just keep right on cruising along. Creates reaction. Oh. Keep looking in the mirror. Woo, that was close. I can't believe I was going that fast. But it's the same way. Authority oftentimes in our hearts creates a reaction. Ah, dad's coming. Quit doing that. Ah, the preacher saw that. Oh no, he's coming my way. Oh no. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. If you view authority as God's gift to man, you can look at it as a blessing. Ah, Dad told me I shouldn't do that. Praise the Lord. I don't know why. I really don't see the danger in it. But you know what? I found it a blessing to listen when Dad says something. I found it a blessing to listen because it spared me from grief. Because down the road, I saw my friends didn't stop. And they got what I was going to get, except I listened. Do you understand the gift from God, authority? That's a blessing. Your fellow brother comes alongside and says, Brother Josh, I want you to consider this. I'm concerned that this is not going to come out right. Well, why don't you just look at your own life? You need help? I'll get you a mirror. You got problems too. Resistance to people speaking into my life. Reaction. Instead of, well, thank you, Brother James. Thank you for sharing that with me. Even though it don't feel good, but thank him. And God, I want to consider this. I really want to sincerely consider this. Because it's not only going to affect my life, but it's going to affect all those that follow me. My whole row of children. My wife. If you just have a wife and no children, it's going to affect those that follow you. And so, look at it as the gift from God. And you know, a thought that just come to me, sometimes some of us have had very bad experiences with authority. Authority being misused. And so we just quit it all together, right? Just throw it all away and say, forget that. That's kind of what I did early in my Christian walk. But you know, I never quit breathing when I smelled something bad. I still needed breath. It's the same way with authority. You can have a bad experience, but seek God to receive that in the right way and find your way through it. But don't just walk away from it and react to it. You won't have a blessing. God created all things, ultimate authority. In the end, He will judge all things, ultimate authority. We as people, we have to face the facts in life that we are surrounded by people and will always have authority. We may not always embrace it, but it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. And so you can remove yourself from the church, from the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can put yourself on this earthly kingdom. By doing that, did I remove myself from authority? I'm not under any church authority. I don't have to listen to my parents. I'm outside of all this. Am I free of authority? I don't listen to anybody. I do my own thing. Am I free of authority? No? Well, who's got authority on me? Who? I'm not part of the church. I'm not in my home. I am my own man. So how am I under authority? Anyone? The law. So I can't get out of the authority of the law. Just because I want to live like a rebel and do anything I want to do, when I cross the law, the lines of the law, they'll crack down on me. But they're not part of my family and it don't matter. They don't care. You live in their land. You're under authority. You'll never get away from it. It don't matter where you're at and what you're doing. Authority will always be part of you and I's life. Authority is given for our edification. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed again. I should not be ashamed. And again, here in 2 Corinthians 13:10, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Twice Paul used the word authority, power or authority. And he said, it's for our edification. That's what authority was for. It's something that is, it's a gift from God that he ordained for us. Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained are of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive unto themselves damnation. That to me is a sobering scripture. It's the word of God. It's given for our edification. It's given for us and our benefit. It's a gift to us. Let's be careful how we speak of our authority. And it's typically, this message is much easier to preach at another congregation and not your own. But this was assigned to me, so I'm going to endeavor to teach it. But take it far beyond just church authority. Disdaining an ordinance of God. Think about this. That man, I don't look at him as a godly man. But is he a man in authority? Do I have a right because he's done some very questionable things to rail on him, to make fun of him? Do I have that right? I don't. So I want to just warn us, be careful. God puts high value on authority. He does. So let's be careful with that. God, he wants to do some things in our lives with authority. As I've been studying this, I've also listened to a sermon by Brother Denny on this as well, and so I've gleaned a few thoughts from him. But something God wants to do with authority in our lives. There's a few points he wants to work in our hearts and lives, and that's why we need to embrace it. God, he wants to build character in our lives through human authority. Do you know that that does that? That builds character in our lives, authority does. Something's required of us. It shapes us by the way we respond to what's required. In our young lives, growing up with in our family, in our home. He wants to build character in our lives through human authority. God wants to give protection in our lives through human authority. Your dad says, don't do that. It's not going to come out right. That's protection. He told you because he already knows the outcome. As a church, we say, let's not go there because it's protection for us. It's something God works in our hearts and lives for us. You take it to the law. There's a stop sign there. It actually means stop. No, don't scoot through on the pavement. No, it doesn't mean that. It means stop. It's for our protection. There's a stoplight. When it flips yellow, prepare to stop. Because if you're in an 18-wheeler and all of a sudden you realize that's yellow and I'm not stopping, there's no way to stop this thing. It's too close. And you see your side is changing. Or you see that, you know, the light's changing, should be changing real close. You kind of time things out. There can be some very devastating results. You follow what I'm saying? Is it for our protection? It is. It's not for us to gamble in life. I think I can make that. Well, the guy over there, he's like, I think I can time that light just right. It should be green by the time I hit the white line. It should be. And I hit it at 55. As an unconverted young lad, I did those things. And I think back to that, I think, if somebody would have come the other way, it has been devastating. Foolishness. It's for our protection. It's for our benefit. Authority. God wants to give us direction in our lives through human authority. A wise son will hear instruction, and he will grow wiser still. Is that for our benefit? It is. Where'd it come from? By yielding and saying, I'm going to receive direction. It's our benefit. We receive direction in many ways. God wants to give encouragement to our lives through human authority. Whether it's wherever you're at in life, you can find encouragement. God wants to bring discipline upon your life through human authority. In various aspects, we find that discipline, that we have to discipline our lives. Whether it's in the government aspect, no speeding, no texting while driving, stopping at the stop signs. The list goes on. Parental discipline. You have the opportunity to obey, and then you choose not to. There's discipline. Nope, we're not going to do that. Nope, you can't do that because you've shown yourself unfaithful in those ways. Discipline. There's church discipline. Sin in the church that needs to be disciplined. We have a lot of different types of authority in mind. We have to keep it in mind that God gave it for us. He gave it for our edification. He gave it as a gift to us. He wants to build character. He wants protection, give direction, encouragement, discipline in our lives. All these things come from authority. And we choose how to respond to authority. That is our choice. Our choice, our attitude makes all the difference in how we view it, how we receive it, and how we grow from it. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I was thinking of authority. Nate separated these two, and there is a separation in the kingdoms. But he put them on equal plane. In line of authority, would that be correct? That both are on equal plane there? No? That's right. Because this is ordained by God. That's ordained by God. It goes under. But it's ordained by God for a reason. Here in Peter, I just read that it's for the punishment of evildoers. It's to bring those that are not under the Lord Jesus Christ and living as respectable civilians in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to bring all them under that authority. No, it doesn't make them Christians, but it puts a law over them that no, you're not going to just run over everybody. No, you're not just going to do whatever you want to do. There's laws in this land and you're going to go by them. It's going to be a pleasant place for us to live while we're here. Does that make sense? God put that authority in place to direct the lawless. Romans 13, 1 through 8. I'm just going to read. Yeah, I think I have time to read that. I'm going to read it anyhow. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We can see that the law of this land is ordained by God. He calls them ministers of God because they are serving, they're serving a purpose for himself. They have the law of this land, the governmental authority. They have power to enforce the laws of the land. They have power to enforce tax collections. I heard reasonings among believers. The reason you do certain things and serve in certain ways is so we can prevent our taxes from going up. I want to just put a word of caution out to us. Be careful when you choose to do things to save your dollar. Just be careful. Be careful. They have power, the authority to enforce educational laws. They have the authority to enforce work laws. You know, sometimes in our communities, to do something is really unhandy. You got to get a permit. And then you got to get inspections. Sometimes they're overboard. Sometimes, yeah, they're not maybe straightforward. But you know what? Those things are a blessing. And the government authority has the authority to enforce those. You go to any third world country and you'll find that the laws we have in this land are a blessing. The authority is a blessing. It's not chaotic. Things are orderly. I'm talking for the most part. They're a blessing. But they have the authority to enforce work laws, your building permits, your moral conduct in public. Their authority goes to burial laws, to marital laws, to traffic laws. And he says through all this that he's a minister of God. Minister of God. That's sobering because too often we get caught up in the cares of life. Caught up and chasing the old Benjamin Franklin. And then we start griping a little bit about all these laws in our lands. Why this and why that? Let's be careful that we find ourselves at peace with God with this. You know, I know Brother Denny said it this way. He said, they're a minister of God. And some people use the term cop just as no disrespect intended. But oftentimes the term cop is kind of like, ah, it's a cop. You know, kind of in a disrespectful way. He says they're not cops with a disgusted emphasis. He says they're the ministers of God. And we need to be careful. And that spoke to my heart, just to take it in a serious way. Not to have any degrading slant or anything to the people that God ordained. They have authority, and we are subject to those. We are. So far, we can't get away from authority. Even though you can run from the church, you can run from your family, you still find yourself under authority somewhere. Church authority. Remember, authority, a gift from God. In Acts 6 there, the church had some needs. They had some needs. There were people being neglected in the daily administration. And there were needs there. And to fix this need, the elders came together and they had a meeting there and they said, let's call out men. And they had criteria for these men. And they said, let's ordain these men. Let's call these men to take care of, they said, serving tables. But in other words, these men were called to take care of the needs among the people. Not just serving a table. Not just making sure everybody got fed. But these men actually had authority. They had authority to deal with issues that came up. I don't picture, according to Acts here, because the elders said, so we can focus on the teaching of doctrine, preaching of the word and doctrine, I think it says. And I don't picture them, every little instance that comes up, we have a large corporate meeting and say, okay, how do we handle this? I believe those deacons had authority and they said, we're going to take care of this. This is what we're going to do in this situation. Here's how we're going to handle this situation. And they just took charge. I believe a deacon had that authority according to the way the results here in Acts. With that authority, they exercised it. It said, there's a couple things happen. Look at authority as a gift from God. Couple things happened here. The word, first of all, the authority brought rest. When they called those deacons and said, hey, take care of the problems, take care of the needs that are here, squabbles, whatever's happening, you guys take care of that. We in the, as the other ministers, we're going to focus on preaching the word and doctrine. Well, that's what we're going to focus on. You guys focus on that, we'll focus on this. And what did it do? It brought rest. It brought rest to the people. Hang on, that's authority. Authority brings rest? It did. It did. Matter of fact, that rest was so refreshing that the word increased, it says. There was a great company of priests that were obedient to the faith. It sounds to me like people got converted. And what they did here was they implemented authority. They said, take care of all this. And the blessing was there. Authority, a gift from God. Because I'm sure at their daily administration, okay, they're people. There were lots of people there. I'm sure they're people just like we are today. There were people there that were trying to take advantage of the situation. There were people there maybe that weren't vocal and saying, hey, I have a need. There were needs among them. But the deacons served. They were made aware of these things. They made decisions by using their God-given authority. It brought peace to the congregation. And just sometimes we look at it as I know from our past culture, we look at it as a deacon as he's just a deacon. All he does is just those certain things. He doesn't preach. Well, here we have an example of Stephen. He went and started preaching. And he preached a fiery sermon. God blessed it. He also went home to be with the Lord Jesus. But they weren't just serving tables. These men were serving God and however they could. He preached with authority. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. A minister, church authority. He has authority to enforce moral conduct, discipline. You know, we have the example here in Thessalonians. The men stopped working. They were waiting for the return of Christ, and they just stopped working. And Paul, his authority, he says, hey, if you're not going to work, then stop eating. If you ain't going to work, then stop eating. That sounds like authority to me. He just basically said, get a job. Get a job and feed yourself. Stop living off other people. Stop just sitting around idly. He used his authority. There's authority to discern in the needs in the church. He told Titus, teach these things with all authority. Teach him. In 2 Thessalonians, I think it's 3:6, I believe it is. There's an example of authority. Talks about discipline, I believe it is. I didn't write this one down. If I can find it here. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he has received of us. He says, you know how you ought to follow us. You know that we've not behaved ourselves disorderly among you. And he goes on to give some more criteria on himself. But I was just thinking of discipline. The ministry has authority to discipline. A church authority. And it's to those that are walking disorderly. I had to think, you know, we as a church, we can set a clear course, a direction, and we can find ourselves fighting or fussing about it and just not embracing the authority that's here for us. Instead, we just go about to do our own thing. That's walking disorderly. In the 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it talks about, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Authority in the church will warn them that are unruly. They'll comfort the feeble-minded, they support the weak, and they're to be patient toward all men. But I was thinking of the word unruly. Unruly means it's unarranged, insubordinate. And insubordinate is religiously, it says insubordinate, religiously unruly. And insubordination is defiance to authority, refusal to obey orders. Thought that was very interesting. Unruly. So church authority has a responsibility to warn the unruly. Also Matthew 18, it also talks about exercising discipline when it's needed. Church authority. To give direction to the flock, to oversee it, to anoint the sick. To give counsel. 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Authority to the church. And you know, I was thinking about, as a congregation, we can come to a place and we can say, all right, here's where we're going. This is what we're doing. And if in my own family, if in my home, I find myself the one that's very unhappy about it, I murmur and complain at home. My children know where it's at, where I'm at with it. But yet, I'm still going along with it, but I'm just very unhappy. Or maybe I'm just always fudging that line and doing my own thing. And then later in life, my children all get older. And I wonder why I'm dealing with this rebellion in my home. Where's this thing coming from? Do you know that's what that is? It's just a little bit of rebellion in my own heart. To not submit myself to authority. Doing my own thing. And then my children grow up. They magnify it. And you know, I wasn't real vocal. I was fairly quiet about it. I was somewhat even pleasant about it. I don't know if there's such a thing as gentle rebellion or not. But that's going to grow. That's going to grow. My children are going to grow with that nurturing. And that's what it's going to produce. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. Supporting the vision of the church, it brings peace. It brings rest. The word of God will actually flourish. There is marital authority. Marital authority. You know, in Genesis 3:16, God given this order in the book of Genesis here. He gave this order in Genesis 3:16. He says that the women will bear children in sorrow, and that their desire shall be towards their husband, and he shall rule over you. That word desire there doesn't mean that you're going to, as ladies, be there just in awe the whole time. Just that's not what that's saying. If you look that up, you'll find that their desire will be to rule. That's the desire that's there. Their desire is to rule over the husband. That's your natural instinct. But God gave direction. He says the man shall rule. In Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands." You'll find a blessing there. In 1 Timothy 2:11-12, talks about learning in silence and not to usurp authority over the man. Usurp is to act of oneself, figuratively dominate. To act of oneself speaks of individualism, not a togetherness, not a submission, but this is what I'm doing. Be careful. Because in our homes, if our wives do that, our children are nurtured that way. That's what they're learning. That's what we're teaching. And I do want to just encourage you as sisters to continue to do that. I've noticed that you do a fine job at that I see. I'm not in your homes, but what I see, I'm blessed. And your homes are blessed because of it. But be in your place. Be in your place. Let your husband lead. Be in unity. But I want to just flip this over just a little bit. So if that's the case, the wives are in submission. They're under authority. Us as men, are we leading? Are we leading? Or are we not leading? Because if we don't lead, by default, our wives see needs. They see great needs, and they want to step up and fill that need. They know the direction it's supposed to go. But if we don't lead, then we put them in a really tough situation to stay in submission or go fix the problem. But I encourage you as couples, communicate. If those needs are there, communicate. Communicate. Express your hearts to one another. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. It's a high calling for us as men. If we do that, our wives can much easier fill their place. They can. But we need to fill ours. But on the contrary, this does not give us any reasons to not fulfill our part. The Word of God is the Word of God. It doesn't give us a reason to not fill our position when she doesn't submit. I ain't leading if she ain't going to submit. He don't lead. I can't submit if he ain't leading. I don't like that he sit. It gives us no reasons. The Word of God is the Word of God. You want the full blessing? Go by the Word of God. Marital authority will decide how we spend our money, how we keep the house, where we live, where we go, activities we're involved in. And together, you know, as a couple, together we can live harmoniously, that our children and the world can see a reflection of Christ in the church. Keep your marriage a sacred place. Don't speak of each other to others in a negative way. Marital authority. This is something that's close to God's heart. He designed it. He ordained it. And the world's out to destroy it. And I want to encourage us that If you're having trouble in your home, in your marriage, be very careful where you go to seek counsel. Be careful. You know, recently came across a situation. A man called me and told me of a situation that he's helping on. And the man won't lead out, and on it goes. And so the woman calls him for advice. Calls him in for advice all the time. Not her husband, but she calls this other gentleman. And she calls him for advice. And one day, this man made a decision. We're going to do this right here. That man called me to tell me that him and the wife already talked and they're doing it differently than what the man decided to do. Do you see what just happened there? There's somebody that got between a marriage. And we're not going to be innocent when we do that. We're not going to have God's blessing when we get between marriages. If you have someone come to you for advice, and you want to know how to go to who for advice, I just want to encourage you in something. Whoever you go to, his or her focus ought to be to restore that. It ought to not be to separate it. It ought to not be to be your go-to person. It ought to be to restore that. That's God's design. And so if someone comes to you, be very careful. Because very quickly you can get caught up in all the emotions of it and you find yourself separating something God put together. So be very careful with that. Keep your marriage a sacred place. Parental authority. That's a gift from God. Children, do your part and you're blessed with a peaceable life, it tells us. You can live a long, peaceful life. With as little regrets as possible. Parental authority will give counsel. It'll direct your schedule. Young people, children, parental authority directs your schedule. Don't like that. What's designed to do that? It'll enforce obedience. Parental authority should do that. Obedience on your possessions, your clothing, your manners, what you're doing, where you're going. Parental authority will affect your language. Don't talk like that. That's disrespectful. It'll be enough of that. We're not going there. It's authority. And sometimes us as parents don't fulfill that, but it should. Parental authority will also help you choose who your friends are. That sounds like, well, that's way too far over the top. No, it's not. No, it's not. When I see a group of people going a wrong direction, I don't have to tell my children, no, you can't go there. But you know what? I can help them choose by taking them a different direction. Bad company corrupts good morals. Do we just let that always up to our children? Or do we as parents have some authority? No, we're not going there. Let's go here. Parental authority will help sort through the books we read, the videos we watch. This is not wholesome. That's only going to breed violence. That's only going to breed foolishness. The music we listen to, that doesn't glorify God. It breeds foolishness. The time that you spend on the internet, parental authority should have a say in all that. But I know sometimes as parents, you get tired and you want to give up. Don't. I just want to encourage you, keep on. Keep on. Your children need it. They need it. Because the world's trying to press in and shape and mold your children. Stand for them. Stand for the truth. Take them that way. It's all right to be different from this world. If we love this world, then God, the love of God is not in us, it tells us. You know, we don't like what we see in society around us. Just stand up. Otherwise, you're going to be part of society. Stand up and lead your family in a better way. You know, I was thinking of accumulating Ebenezers. Ebenezer is God has helped me. look back to say, God, help me there. He can help me in this situation too. You can look back and collect those things. Gather strength. God is for us. Another aspect of authority, employer authority. Servants obey in all things your master according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Oh, the boss is here. Everybody gets up and gets their whatever moving. Boss leaves. That's men pleasers. But put your heart into it as your servant of the Lord Jesus. Authority from your employer. He tells you when to show up. He tells you when you're going home. He tells you how much you're getting paid. He tells you what to do. Can't really get away from authority, can we? He also tells you if you're doing something right or if you're doing it wrong. And some employers are kind about it and others are not. But that has nothing to do with your employer. You have a choice how you respond to authority. I was recently told of a very successful business. I can't remember who it was. I think Brother Matt, maybe you told me about it. I don't know. Not sure. Somebody was telling me about it. Anyhow, this man had this business he started, and he had all these employees, but he started his son as an employee. And in the company, there was a number of people who did not know that this son was not just an employee. He was the son. He was the next boss coming up. And so this son, he messed up on a project. And his supervisor leveled him. I mean, just verbally, just railed him. And walked off. And somebody else came up to the supervisor and said, "Do you know what you just did?" "Yeah, I do." "Do you know who that is?" "That's the boss's son." Oh boy, you know, thinking he's getting fired. Never got fired. That son took that. He took that. He grew from that. The boss, his dad, never fired the guy because he wanted that son to work his way up the ladder and not just be handed a gold platter. Today, the business is still successful. Why? Because the son learned hard work. Today, the employees have high respect for the son. Why? Because they saw him climb that ladder and do everything they did. Does it have to be that? I'm not saying it has to, but authority, don't matter where it comes from, we need to receive it and we can prosper. We can find a blessing. We can sit here and we can say, it doesn't make any sense. Why dad does that or the church does that or the world is doing that. We don't have to do those things. That doesn't excuse us from authority. It doesn't. It doesn't excuse us from our response of disobedience, a bad attitude. God wants to use authority to profoundly impact and influence our lives. He wants to shape our character. He wants to give us protection. He wants to do these things for us, give us direction. He wants to encourage us. These things are for our blessing. They're a gift from God. It doesn't always matter how your authority responds to you, but it matters how you respond to it. Those of us that are in authority, it matters how we do. But I'm talking about being all of us being under authority today. It seems like more quickly authority in the home and in the church is disregarded than authority when those blue lights come on or when you get a court order or your boss says, it's either this way or I'm done. Those things all of a sudden, we jump right to the tune because why? Because we feel that authority, right? But when we put authority in its right place, disrespect to parents, under out of that authority, you're under out of the blessing of God. Under out of church authority, you're under out of the blessing of God. Put that in its right place, and then we won't have a greater fear for this authority and this authority. We'll actually see it as, this is my benefit. You can get pulled over for speeding and you can say, I'm sorry, I was speeding. I wasn't paying attention, and be honest. Instead of, that's my habit. And then you can get pulled over like, yeah, I deserve that one. You understand the difference? There's a different feeling that happens in here. Authority. Is it a blessing? It's God designed to be a blessing. And I want to quickly try to touch on, there is the aspect of misused authority. That's been lifelong. Authority misused in our homes, in the churches, in government. It's just been there. But don't react to it in a way to where you refuse authority in your life. Because God designed it. God designed authority. And I would encourage you to seek counsel on how to respond to that. If you're struggling with that, you're in that situation, seek counsel on how to respond to it. Just be careful there. We want God to dwell with us. We want God to be our ultimate authority. But if we want that, then we need to put ourselves under the authority that He has for us here. In the spiritual kingdom and also in this earthly kingdom, there's authority. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's 3:16 of 1 Corinthians, and also in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're bought with a great price. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, authority is an important thing to us. How we view it, how we honor it, how we respond to it, because our response should be directed by the Spirit of God. It really should be. And so also it says by our body. Our body reflects an outward, our physical body. But it says with our spirit we should glorify God as well. That's the inward, the mind and the emotions. It's not just one without the other. Not just a form and not just a profession, but together a life. So we claim to be a home for the Holy Spirit of God. But we don't live according to the Word of God. We're not broken. We're not under authority. Whether it's governmental, church, marital, parental. We're refusing authority. How long will the Spirit of God dwell there? And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I was just thinking, walking in accordance to the course of this world. According here means walking in harmony with it. If we're walking in harmony with the course of this world, we're walking in rebellion. Because if you look around and you just do some studying, there's a rebellion against this, there's a rebellion against that, there's an uprising against this, there's uprising against that. It's rebellion is the way of this world. This should alarm us. And I want to just encourage us that don't find authority a threat to you, but find it a blessing. And just pour your heart out in finding rest in authority. Proverbs 1:33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And I believe that we can find a quietness even when authority is misused. We can still find a quietness in God. So may God bless you. May you find your way with authority in your life in every aspect. Because that's something that you and I will never get away from as long as we live. And it's also something that is going to cause a response. Will it be a response motivated by the Spirit of God in gentleness and peace and joy and quietness? Or will it be a resistance? And so, let's just take it as a serious call from God to our lives. Let's take it as a gift from God for our lives. May God bless you.